Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Small Town World. I'm Lee Creech.
And Kayla Couples.
And today we are going to discuss artificial intelligence, commonly referred to as AI. Are you prepared, sister?
I think I'm prepared. I think I am a little bit overwhelmed because it seems a lot like one of those topics that I probably should have known a lot of stuff about. And then when I started looking and I knew so little, it's a little bit frightening. The things that are going on in our world that just seem to be happening at this rapid rate that, I don't know, did you feel that way? Or did you feel like you already kind of knew enough about it that it wasn't as shocking to you?
No, it was incredibly shocking to me. And how rapidly everything is happening is shocking to me. And how little the world around us realizes what's happening is shocking to me. We talked to a friend of yours who had ChatGPT on her phone and didn't even realize we were talking about artificial intelligence.
I think you mentioned it, and she's like, oh, yeah, I use that all the time.
And she didn't realize what that was, and I said, well, ChatGPT, and she said, oh, yeah, I have that. I have it on my phone, you know. And so not even realizing that was a form of artificial intelligence, and then it's just kind of taken over social media. And we didn't realize, and I didn't realize until recently, that it was so, like you said, already in play. And already at work behind the scenes. What they've talked about is that it was, you know, used in our last political election, weaponized against certain sides. Both sides actually used it. And how scary.
So what are some ways in which it was used in the election? Like, what are the...
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard about the Twitter files. Have you heard about Elon Musk releasing the Twitter files and the government entities that were behind, basically bots? They created fake accounts, and one person could create hundreds of thousands of accounts and basically send out propaganda is basically what was done.
Okay.
And so it was just used to politicize and influence the election.
Wow.
And it was used, information was suppressed with the use of artificial intelligence, and false information was created with the use of artificial intelligence. And
so, like,
basically propaganda.
It just makes me think, as you're saying that about the Twitter, just how quickly, you know, because we've talked about propaganda numerous times on the podcast. But the reality that took months to be sent out. It was like a really long campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality now that propaganda can be sent out in moments to so many people.
You know, for years, when you buy something or when you go and look at something, you have to click a little thing, a little box that says, I'm not a robot.
Yes.
I clicked that box because I'm on my computer a lot, and I'm doing things all the time. And so that box pops up at least once a day, maybe 2 to 3 times a day, depending on what I'm having to do and what I'm having to research and look at. And, you know, it's been in my world for years.
Yeah.
So I know it's been in other people's world. And so it really never occurred to me. I thought, why?
I'm like, why does it matter?
Why does it matter? What's the deal?
Right.
And now I get it.
Yeah.
But I didn't get it for many years. And we're going to explain why we hope y'all get it too.
So we had kind of stumbled across the topic almost at the same time, but from two completely different avenues.
Yeah.
If you remember, I had listened to The Cultish.
Yes.
There were two episodes on. And honestly, it's so funny because they are like 13 and 14. And so they are from years ago. Well,
it was 2018, February of 2018.
Yes, of 18. And so I thought, I remember when I first started listening to the Cultish podcast, seeing those and like, oh, I'm not interested in.
Me too.
I kind of skipped over them. I didn't even.
And forgot about them. I did.
And I don't even know what made me go back and listen. And so I had kind of listened to that. And then what was it that had kind of sparked your attention?
I had the video that I told you about the mom. Okay, so you want me to tell the video and why I got interested? Okay, so I watched a video of a mom telling a story, and she said it was a video, a phone, not a video. In the video, the mom is telling that she got a phone call from her daughter, and it says, "Mom, I've been kidnapped. The men need you to pay $10,000 right now or they're going to kill me." And the mom said, it was my daughter's voice. She said every inflection, it was her speech pattern. It was her. And she said, then a man comes on the line and says, you have to give us $10,000 right now or we're going to kill her. And he starts giving her information. And in the background, she hears her daughter screaming, like screaming bloody murder. And so she said, I was just before sending that man $10,000. And she said, something in me said, just text her and see where she's at. So she said, I texted my daughter, and her daughter said, I'm upstairs in my bedroom. And her daughter was obviously 18, 19 years old. And so she didn't realize that her daughter was home. So she goes upstairs, running upstairs, and opens the door, and there's her daughter. Fine. And so she said, it was a scam, but they had used artificial intelligence to create a recording of her daughter's voice. And these are just random, everyday, middle-class people.
Right.
Not anybody special. No, just not, but targeted probably because they were middle-class people and had access to probably $10,000. And so she said, you know, obviously she called the police, did the whole thing. And so that spurred my interest. And I was like, okay, I'm going to. So I went down to Kayla. I went down the rabbit hole. I could spend a whole day on artificial intelligence. And I watched a Glenn Beck interview with Whitney Webb. Who is a reporter who talked about artificial intelligence. She talked about a lot of different things. It's like a two-hour interview, but I watched the AI portion of that. And then I watched Elon Musk on Tucker Carlson. I watched that interview, and Elon Musk also did a Joe Rogan experience, and I watched a portion of that as well. I watched him talk about artificial intelligence, and that was during the time when I really researched and got interested was in the moment where Elon Musk and the guys in the leaders of AI had come to an agreement to halt AI research for and production for about 6 months.
Right.
Until they could kind of catch up.
And that was at the end of May. March. It's the end of March.
So I put some regulatory processes in place that was going to be discussed.
Right.
And like you said, and like you and I discussed earlier, how do you police bad people in that industry?
Right.
There's going to be bad people that come in with.
So before we get into that part of it, I just wanted to consider for just a moment, because I think someone that follows us, that listens to us, might find it this particular topic to be a bit odd.
Sure.
Like, where does this fit in with right. what we're talking about?
Yes.
And so what I think my eyes have been open to is that there are religious implications
yes.
for this. There are economic implications for this. Extremely, definitely cultural. It's a society issue that I think that our eyes need to be opened to.
Yeah.
So just I think the regular folks like us, like the people that just live their life and go to work and all this, like what implications does this have
yeah.
for the regular citizen?
I wrote five down.
Five implications that it has.
Yeah. Do you want to go over
So let's
those?
Talk about that for just a minute and
okay.
then maybe touch on why was this push to halt even considered, like, or mm-hmm. signed, because there were like 3,000 influential people that signed. And so what was the deal? Like, why would they have signed?
Yeah, why did they care?
Why did they care? So let's talk about the five implications that you feel like you really came across, and then let's jump back into, okay, what was the halt about?
What was the halt about? Yeah, because I think when we talk about the five implications, people will clearly see what the halt was about, but let's discuss that.
Yeah.
So we've already kind of touched on this one, and so I'll start with this one. The fear that it can be weaponized and politicized and propaganda.
Right.
So,
I think we could even exchange fear for the reality that it can.
The reality
and
that it
will.
Can.
Yeah.
And that it might not always be someone in the United States in control of that. So Russia could, just as an example, Russia control our elections. China control our elections and put the leader that they want in place. Okay. The fear of not being able to trust what you see and hear. So we just touched on that as well. Any face, voice, or account could be hijacked. And so the guys, we listen to a podcast called Life After AI. You listen, there's 8 episodes. You listen to the first one, and I listen to the last one. And on the last one, he talked about not being able to trust even a FaceTime with a family member. Just always having to verify and check and make sure that you're actually in communication with the person
that you think
you're in communication with.
Yeah.
The immediate fear of loss of jobs or income as automation becomes a genuine threat for many industries, and that will probably, like you said, start with industry automation.
Right. Well, so in that first episode of Life After AI, they were speaking of the, the universal basic income. That was what caught my attention about that to begin with, because they were, basically they were speaking of it as if this is an inevitability. Mm-hmm. Like, it is inevitable that there's this system created where people are basically just paid a certain amount of money because they're alive.
UBI.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Universal UBI. Basic Income.
Income. And the point, the reason.
And that's a global thing. Not
yes,
a,
it was. It's a global
not an American thing.
It's okay. A global thing. And basically they were saying that this is going to be the system that's going to be in place for people that don't want to work. If you don't want to work, you just want to live life.
Because AI is going to create a lot of job loss.
It's
going to
create a lot of job loss, but the expectation of some is that it's also going to make life so easy. I mean, of course, these are very idealistic topics that they're talking about.
Yeah.
But for me, it wasn't so much that this thing is going to happen. It was the way people talk about it.
Yes. I want to say that, interject that most everybody that we listen to thinks that AI is great and wonderful.
Yes. It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
Because I actually went on the search to find somebody speaking against it.
Right.
Even the cultish guys, the guy that they interviewed, you'd have thought that guy was like doing a commercial.
Yeah.
Which, granted, I would be interested to know what his point of view was
now.
These several years later,
yep,
that things have progressed the way that they have. But like, he was just, really, you would have thought he was doing a commercial. But
yeah,
nonetheless.
And infatuated with Elon Musk.
And quite infatuated. But back to the labor issue that you were speaking of just a moment ago. So they, one of the things that they said was that when they first started looking to the future of what AI was going to mean for industry, it was projected that, and it was believed that this was going to affect laborers first, you know, people that worked at a factory. It was going to affect blue-collar workers.
Right.
Those kinds of people, that their job was going to be automated to the point that it wouldn't exist. And then eventually, sometime down the road, you might have to, you know, the white collar worker was going to be affected, mm-hmm, and then business and up to the higher echelon.
Mm-hmm.
That was the projection, that it was going to start at the bottom, work its way up, and that creatives were basically going to be, they expected them to be unaffected.
Mm-hmm.
The artist, the painter, the even the graphic designer, the musician, the writer, those were going to be the least affected people. And even from the chat GPT and then a couple of other, I wrote down a few other, Bard, the GPT-4, that it actually has been exact opposite. Like, now you can put in what kind of artwork you want and this gorgeous product is going to come out. You can put in like what you want your song to sound like, give it a couple of descriptions, and it's going to produce the song.
Yeah.
Now, they went on to talk about that eventually, again, this is their belief, that people are going to pay money for the human-produced work.
Mm-hmm.
How will you know it's a human-produced work? Like, what is going to be, what are you going to be looking for? Are you going to have to see the brush strokes? Like, what are you genuinely going to have to look for?
Yeah.
But then they also talked about the fact that basically these things that are being, and I say creatively with quotes, being created, generated, basically what the AI is doing is it's just searching the internet.
Yes.
And it's exactly just finding, if you want, whatever kind of art you want, you put that in. Well, it's just picking and choosing from little bits and pieces. And so, of course, creatives are very distressed about this.
Yes.
Because their work is being hijacked.
This past weekend, a ghostwriter, that's what they called it, created a song. I don't listen to either one of these artists, but that a ghostwriter using artificial intelligence created a song that sounds just like Drake and The Weeknd, so collaborating. And whoever this person was created this song that sounds exactly like them, but it's neither one of the artists. And so they basically hijacked their voices and created a song. I'd be curious to know what either one of them thought about it.
Yeah. So what was the fifth?
Okay, the fifth is scary. It's basically what we listen to with Cultish, basically. The ultimate fear is that AI could completely take over the world.
Yeah.
And that it could annihilate humanity. It could decide, I'm going to resolve world hunger by eliminating the source of the problem, and that's people.
Right.
It could take over governments, and that's Elon Musk's concern. When he talked to Tucker Carlson in that interview, that was his concern for the halt, is that it could be manipulated by governments, it could be used to take over governments, that it could move so rapidly that it could control militaries, that it could control automation, drone automation, automated drone strikes, that it could decide that one or the other country is worse than the other country, and it could decide to take over that country or annihilate that country.
Some of the research that you shared that you had come across with me was that there was a particular, I don't know if it was a program or whatever, that they were saying may take 10 to 20 years to fully develop, and now...
Yeah.
That, it is in development. It has been developed. What was that?
That is autonomous AI. Thank you. Autonomous AI agent.
So what was that?
So autonomous agents are software programs which respond to states and events in their environment independent from direct instruction by the user or the owner of the agent, but acting on behalf in the interest of the owner. I'm going to give you four names, and then I'm going to explain what that means. Agent GPT, which is developed by the ChatGPT group, God Mode, Microsoft Jarvis, and Camel. Those are going to be some autonomous AI agents. And what an autonomous AI agent software would do for you is it would say, I put it in place for my company, and it's going to say, she needs to do a social media post on Mother's Day, so I'm just going to do that for her. I'm going to create a social media post for Mother's Day and handle that for her, and it's going to go out. I don't approve it. I don't look at the post. It doesn't alert me that I need to create one. It creates one for me and sends it out because I need to do that. It knows what I need.
So it's making decisions. It's
making decisions once, for the user on your behalf.
Once you become a user of that program, you basically then surrender some of your personal decisions.
It responds to states and events. So the world is in turmoil for some certain reason. There's chaos going on, and it's going to send a post that says what the world needs now is love, sweet love. You know, it's going to say, hey, we need to love each other. I think that's what the internet's told me, so that's what I'm going to create. Or an event, so Mother's Day, for instance, it's going to say, hey, we need... So there's a state or event in the environment, independent from the direct instruction by the user or the owner of the agent, but acting on behalf and in the interest of the owner. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, what if you own stock and it becomes your stockbroker and it says, oh, well, she needs to sell today. And so it just sells your stock on behalf of you without your consent or knowledge. I don't know if that would be a possibility, but I was thinking about that.
Why would it not be a possibility?
What if it controlled your money? What if it controlled other things that you wouldn't want it to control? I think the initial application of it is social media posting, but I don't know if it would be implemented for other things. Yeah.
So that takes us to the halt.
Yeah.
So at the end of March, OpenAI. Was it OpenAI? Was that the name of the group?
I can't remember. It's the creators, the leaders in the industry.
The leaders in the industry. That group I saw several times in when I was looking up why the halt, that particular group came up several times. I can't remember. But of course, Elon Musk is at the forefront of that, this group of collaborators. And they, let me write and see what I wrote down. It was a... moratorium. Is that the right word?
I think it is.
At the end of March, an open letter proposed the 6-month moratorium on the dangerous AI race. That was in quotes in the article, the dangerous AI race. And then one of the things that it said, I couldn't find the open letter in time to read the whole thing, but one of the things that it did say in it was that there were potential risks to society. That was one of the claims that they made for the why. So did you come across the suggestions that the letter made?
No,
the open
I've
letter.
Only watched those interviews.
So one of the things letter. That, so this was basically what they were this is what they are calling for, because supposedly.
Because I don't think it's happened, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think it's happened, but this is what
they were asking for,
and these are the things they're hoping to happen. They're saying that there needs to be improved transparency. In other words, what are you working on? Mm-hmm. When are you going to implement it? How is it going to be implemented? That's what it means by transparency. And then accountability, as well as developing guidelines for deployment. Mm-hmm. So, like, in order to begin to employ your AI, these are some guidelines that we expect you to follow. They are suggesting a community-driven code of ethics. They wanted laws and protocols to be written. And what I wrote with big question marks is who's the enforcer of this?
Yeah.
I just put enforcers. Like, what are they governing themselves?
Right.
Is this group of 3,000 influential AI community people, are they governing themselves?
Right. And how do you enforce something globally?
Yeah.
I think that's another issue. You know, we could have American standards, but are there and will there be global standards?
Right.
Yeah. And how do you control that?
And how do you govern ethics?
Mm-hmm.
Because all of those things are ethic issues, except the one statement that I read that they were asking for laws to be written. But if there's no one to enforce that, and then, like you said, how do you reach beyond? Because you don't. Technology goes beyond the borders. That's long gone.
Yeah, that's long gone.
I mean, that's long gone. Our money, that's long gone.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we, what's our response to it?
I know, because what they were talking about on the one episode that I did listen to today was regulatory processes and agencies. And he said, because, just giving an example, he said, what if somebody, used AI to hack in and control aircrafts. He said, what if they controlled, they shut down all of the aircraft, all the flights for one day, or they rerouted all the flights for one day, or, you know, he said, what if they used that for, like, this autonomous agent to do something like that?
My thought now, after looking at all of this and just realizing the vast nature of it, has it gone too far already? Like, honestly, what's gonna if these technologies are already in place? So I found Sophia. Did you watch the video?
No, I never did.
Of her. So they killed Sophia.
Yeah. Said she was beautiful.
She was. She was really pretty. She looked. I mean, you could tell she was robotic, but she looked. She had features of a human.
Yeah. Yeah. They gave her features.
I think you could have done a lot, and she wouldn't have looked. I mean. Wouldn't have taken much more, and she would not have looked like a robot.
Yeah, and that was 2018. So she, 5 years ago, they could totally different technology. Now.
And she, I don't understand all the technology behind it, but basically what they're saying is that we're just steps away. Everything that they were talking about, because they were saying if you plug Sophia into the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The answers that she would give, like, because you could ask, so basically they set her up and you asked her questions and she would give you the answers she had been programmed
to give.
Anyway, I looked up why they killed her, but I can't remember what it was now, but anyway. And her developer was like out of China or Japan, I don't remember where her developer was from, but.
Yeah. So I was telling you about AI on, which site was it? On Snapchat. So AI on Snapchat, if you asked it, I don't have Snapchat, I'm just repeating what someone else told me. But AI on Snapchat, you asked it, who is Jesus Christ? And it said, the answer that it gave was, I can't respond to that. I'm not allowed to talk about religious figures. So that's what it had been programmed to say. Okay. Also on Snapchat, if you asked it, who was Muhammad? And then it goes into a big, long explanation of Muhammad is considered a highly religious figure. He's considered a prophet. He's the major, you know, prophet of, and then it went into the whole spiel of that. But Jesus, it couldn't talk about. And so then... AI on which platform was it that it could tell you who Christ was, and it led through the sinner's prayer. So there was another, there was another AI bot on a different social media site, and I can't remember which one, but if you asked that AI bot who was Jesus, they would tell you who Jesus was and lead you through. I read it. I did the whole thing and read it, and it led you through basically the sinner's prayer to salvation.
Wow.
Yeah, on that one. So, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
Well, so in the cultish episode, mm-hmm. that was that guy's point.
That's the point.
So, I guess that's kind of the place we are when you think about, has it gone too far? So, his point was, look, the technology is here.
Yeah.
The technology is here. The development is here. We need Christians in this field who are helping to guide this development.
Yeah.
We don't need Christians walking away because they're afraid. We need Christians stepping into this arena and joining in the development. That was his point. Anyway, because of things like that.
Because ultimately, it's a computer responding to what it's been programmed to say.
Right, yeah. Right.
And what the internet...
has
search,
available, for, has it
available
to
for it to search right. and find.
So he was like, keep putting stuff on the internet. Keep posting your devotions. Keep putting all of those things because that when it searches, it's searching and it's happening almost mm-hmm. instantaneously, but it's searching everything.
And their point also was, we don't know what the artificial intelligence is going to decide. It may decide... that people need Christ and that Christ and Christianity is the true answer. It may decide that, or it may decide the opposite. We don't know what it'll decide ultimately.
Well, what I love more than anything is that as Christians, because honestly, if I was not a Christian, this would scare me to death.
It would be scary.
It would scare me to death if I did not know Jesus. If I did not understand the sovereignty of God. I would want to go pull all my money out of the bank. I would want to mm-hmm. throw my phone in the trash. I would want to do all of those things. Mm-hmm. But when I truly contemplate the sovereignty of God, like
He's going to use it for His purposes.
I don't want to say I shrug my shoulders, but I kind of do because it's no matter what it ends up looking like for us, our God is always in control. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what computer they think they create, what purpose and plan they have for it, ultimately our God gets to decide what is done with it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think we need to be aware. I think we need to be, you know,
informed
and make decisions about what this might mean. Like you were talking about, know how to grow my food.
Yeah.
Make decisions about how I spend my money and how I'm prepared to meet my basic needs if something goes wrong with my money. Like, be prepared in that regard, but like, I don't have to prepare my heart for that.
Yeah. Can I read the verse the Lord laid on
my heart? I would love it. Yes, absolutely.
So 1 Thessalonians 4:10 and 12. I listened to all that, and the Lord just put this verse on my heart. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do more and more. And what they're talking about, the more and more right there is, what Paul is talking about, is loving our neighbors. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so you will not be dependent on anybody.
So maybe the Lord will use His church to provide food for people, or,
right.
I mean, who knows
we don't know.
What God is going to use us for, yeah. but
And I was thinking today about all the things, you know, and that gets into deep theology that we probably don't want to get into, pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, and the rapture. And, you know, when we don't know what state we're going to be in on this earth when the Lord returns. And so this verse came to my mind.
Yeah.
Because we don't know where we're going to be, and we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And but if we just do what His Word tells us.
That's right.
Live a quiet life, work with our hands, live a life that appeals to outsiders.
And there's not one single thing that man can make or do that is ever going to be superior to God.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yes.
Nothing is ever going to thwart His plans for His people,
mm-hmm.
and nor is it ever going to dethrone Him. And
yeah.
So, like, that gives us as Christians hope.
Yeah.
And not just hope, but like peace and confidence and
that's right.
just assurance that we don't have to fear these things that are coming or that we don't understand. Or
and we don't have to figure it out.
We don't.
We don't have to figure it out. But
I'm
we
so
need to be aware of it.
I can't.
No, we can't understand it. We don't understand half this stuff. But we know we can trust Him. And we need to be aware of what's going on.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
Because if He does need us to fight a battle, we
That's
need to know
right.
what we're fighting.
I love yeah. that. That's so true.
Yeah. So, well, thank you guys for joining us. I think we went a little bit over. We told y'all we were going to do that sometimes. And so we thank y'all for sticking with us. And we will see y'all again next time.